know, as soon as we get the audited financial statement back in, should produce in February, we will know exactly what the total amount for the board meeting for fiscal 2002.
So the board, at this point, the board, we haven't made arrangements for the meetings for the rest of the year or of this fiscal year. So you have no idea how many meetings we're going to be having.
Right. We have scheduled the meetings for the national board meeting, but in reference to the bylaws, I think that's probably going to be talked about at the end of this meeting.
Okay.
So
right.
I will have some idea of what our next meetings are. So when I go back in a week or so present the budget to you guys, that will be included in the budget.
Right. She put in here three projected, one for March, one for June, and one for September at 20,000. That's in here for projected for the rest of this fiscal year, but it doesn't speak to any emergency meetings
outside
or whether or not that's actually going to be scheduled. We have
to
review the whole schedule of meetings and then put it in clearly. Okay, I have David, myself, then Jabari.
Yeah, I would like to first compliment the staff and Yasmin, everyone, on getting this together. I know throughout the whole network it's been a whole lot of work and scrambling to get all these numbers together. And I really, a few things when James talked about board. I know on the consolidated budget on the front it says board donations 0000. It reminds me of a book I read in the past by Paul V. Allen, the former director of KPFK. It's not Allen, Paul Dallas, who noted that the board always promised money but never paid it. And I know that some of us on the board that were able to do make donations, but not just in time but in cash. So I don't know if that's really supposed to reflect our donations. But the real point I wanted to speak to was two things. First of all, that it shows that the Democracy Now! Costs to the national office are in the neighborhood of $500,000. But I think it's pretty clear, we all know, that Democracy Now! Generates at least $1.5 million in income. So I think that's a reasonable thing. Is that relatively accurate in your perspective, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah. But one thing that does concern me, I don't like deficit budgets necessarily, but they're goals. Budgets are goals, as Jabari said. Audited statements, financial statements, are the results of whether we meet those goals. And I do, in looking at the KPFK, and I can speak to KPFK specifically. By the way, this is Dave Furtick from KPFK, 90.7.
Okay.
And thank you. Southern California. But no, seriously, we can raise a whole lot more money than is budgeted. And I know that we can. And I think that while we need to trim where we can trim and engage volunteers more effectively and more thoroughly, I think we need to also raise our sights in terms of fundraising, because we can achieve them. But you don't get what you don't expect and aim for. Because I got more things to put on the plate here. I looked at the, I think, a vital, vital omission, and by necessity, I suspect. We spend about 1% of our station budgets go into training for staff. And to me, that is, to put it mildly, inadequate. I think that if we look at Texas, they put 2.5% in. That's 2.5 times. That's still inadequate. And I think we need to consider to what extent we can add. I mean, at KPFA, it's 0.5% of the annual budget goes to training of staff. And we hear about how they're very, you know, staff-driven on a lot of levels. That's wonderful, and particularly, you know, unpaid staff and so forth. But nonetheless, we need to invest in the people that make the sound. And so I really would urge the executive to consider substantially raising that percentage and discussing with the stations to do that, because that's a major issue in terms of staff relations and communication skills and training and so forth. Aside from that, I do think that it's really important that we recognize that the national office, we need the national office to maintain a perspective overall, and I'm really hopeful that we can grow it instead of blow it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. We will be presenting at the next board meeting, as I mentioned, in laying out roughly the 6-point action agenda that I laid out last night about where we're focusing on, and one of those areas being an apprenticeship and training program. And you will get at the next board meeting, after the general managers get it, a detailed budget and vision about how we're looking at implementing apprenticeship and training programs around the system and their costs.
Okay, but that needs to be
I'd like that to be reflected in the adjusted budget in a couple of weeks.
That was Dan Coughlin, the executive director of Pacifica, and you'll hear his report from last night during lunch break here at the All Souls Church.
Well, first let me say I also appreciate the work that particularly that Yasmin has put into this, but also I know that at the staff level for each of the stations that a tremendous amount of work goes into this. Let me just say that, having said that, that I hope this doesn't come, of course, harsher than I mean it to be, but we need for the whole institution to be fiscally responsible. Those individuals who have, through their jobs or by being on finance committees or whatever relationship they have to the financial operation, we need to figure out how to help each of those players get a little better about meeting deadlines and getting reports done and information in a timely and orderly way, so that Yasmin isn't up until 9 o'clock on Friday night before the board meeting doing the final report. It just isn't fair to her. It isn't fair to the whole organization in terms of having the material that we needed in the timely way. If that means that in any given place throughout the system, there's some bottleneck that we need to help clean up, some either backlog of information that needs to be entered or some special training or some, you know, some consideration of who's doing what job and how it's getting done, then we need to do that, because it does hold up. By this meeting, we should have had the full adjusted budget so we could have voted on them. We should have had that, you know, in September, but I think we all gave ourselves and each other, you know, a lot of leeway because of the crisis we were had inherited and the mess we had inherited. And that's part of why we extended it 3 more months to be able to give the people who needed to do that work the time to pull it together so that we could have these adjusted budgets. We're obviously not going to be able to, I think, we're not going to be able to make a final decision today. So, again, I don't mean to mean too harsh, but we do need to take these things seriously so that we can be fiscally responsible and take care of the financial business of this organization. Now, having said that, I haven't had time to look through each of the station budgets very carefully. I do have a few more items on the national office budget. One is, and I think Carol mentioned this, on page one, just the salaries for staff. I think we need to see a breakdown of what is being projected in that. It's just the conglomerate here of staff. It's not broken down. I don't know if this is salaries for, I know it's not for two people, but we don't know if it's two people or 10 people or 35 people, right? We don't know what the projection is on the staff. So we really need to have that broken down. Also, in that same category, but over on the next page, on page two at the top, in line item 6,300, consultants, there's a total of 226,000, and that's not the lawyers, that's not the audits. So what is that?
Those are temporary staff that we have right now. Also, we had to actually revamp the server that we had in the national office in the month of October. We've just completed actually doing the Citrix for the business managers at the other station, so they are able to print. So we have put a lot of money into the server and also Great Plains. As you go forth for the rest of the year, you can see that total is going to decrease, but we have invested a lot of money in the Great Plains system in October and November. But we have projected to have the temporary staff on board, I think, until around February of next year, until the audit is completed.
Anyway, I'm just wondering if that could be further, after February, if that could be further brought down, since the bulk of the consultants seems to show up in other places. So that is something that I would ask us to look further at. The other thing is that I'm not sure why the debt retirement, because some of it we know, right? We're paying off Mitchell and Silverberg, and we're paying off, I forget who else, right? There are a few.
West Hill,
right. Mm-hmm. Why does that not show up in the budget, and shouldn't it show up in the budget?
It is in the cash flow. And as a matter of fact, I've reduced it because we did make payments to those two firms.
What page is it?
For page 2 of the consolidated draft.
Okay. We also have to remember that...
It's not in the national office.
Right. No, majority of these expenses occurred in fiscal 201. So therefore, the expenses on the balance sheet side, which is accounts payable, is going to show up, and it's going to show up as a part of your cash flow. Because we've accounted for those expenses in fiscal 201, you cannot bring it over in 202 based on the income statement, but on the balance sheet. Have I lost you?
Yeah, but that's right. I can catch up later.
Okay, but right now it's just a cash flow item. It is not an expense for the foundation for fiscal 203.
Okay, get it. Okay, Jabari was next, and then Carol.
I just have a series of yes/no questions. Is it budgeted for a program director?
Yes.
Is it budgeted for program staff?
No.
Is there budgeted for space for a program director?
Well, currently the program are the Washington. Washington Bureau Chief is right now being host in the national office. We have not budgeted any space for the future. That's a discussion that I think Dan probably will have to have with the Finance Committee.
Okay. Is there a budget for a National Technical Director?
Yes.
Is there a budget for a National Technical Staff?
No.
Is there a budget for a National Outreach Director?
No.
Are there budgets for station staff, station outreach directors?
In most of the station, with the exception of, I think right now, WPFW, because of the funds that's available for 2003, that position probably will need to be revisited in WPFW's budget for fiscal 204.
Okay. With respect to the space that the present finance office is in, you're trying to get out of that lease?
Yes.
Has there been any consideration for using that space for other national staff? If you're going to have a news bureau or whatever, has there been there's been no consideration?
No.
Where are these national people going to sit?
On top of you. What can I say?
That could be interesting.
Okay, let's not go there. We are on the air. We are broadcasting. I'm sorry.
What are we doing here? Yeah.
We're hoping that WPFW will share some of his space that the station has right now.
Dan, have you come up with a specific plan for where national staff operations will be located?
Jabari, historically, or as long as I can remember, for about 6 years, there's typically a percentage of the space available at WPFW. When PFW moved to the new location in Adams Morgan from downtown, there was a space created for national programming and a shared space between national programming and WPFW. That space currently a national office pays for as part of national programming, and we believe that we can continue to use that space and those studio facilities and equipment and desks going forward for national programming staff as we rebuild our national programming in the future.
Okay, well, again, I'm concerned that we haven't created a plan of action that has been sat down and thought out in the totality of the things that you have said is creating a bureau. Those were your words. And it was stated before that a bureau is not just one person. A bureau is people. And it's not just staff people. You have to have things, computers, chairs, all that kind of stuff. So, again, this is an example to me where these budgets don't reflect what I hear coming out, your mouth. And there's got to be some consistency between these things. I got some more questions.
Reality?
How much
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Yes, this is the Pacific National Board meeting. It will be broadcast until about 5 or 6 today. And again, tomorrow, the entire meeting is broadcasting a webcast as well. Tomorrow, the hours to be announced.
Paying packages for the former full-time staff cost.
That's probably ran us around anywhere from probably around $20,000.
How much are we spending a month for the temps?
Probably around, I would say, anywhere from $6,000 to $7,000 per month.
Per person?
No.
What?
For all four.
All four, $6,000 a month. How much? What is the projected staff of the new? What is the projected size of the new staff?
Right now, in the budget, a full-time controller, an assistant controller, accounts payable person, a payroll slash benefits person, and I think it's just four.
What's the projected cost of those on a monthly basis?
Can I just interject here? I thought we already had asked for from Yasmin and from Dan a breakdown of the national staffing, right? That we wanted that in writing. Right, to see what the national staff. That, obviously, this is part of that. So I'm not sure.
That's on the salary information that I do not have with me. But if you like, when we do the budget in a week or so, you can get that amount because that will be in the salary portion of the budget.
Okay, I just have a couple more. How much has been? Or what is the projected allocation for what is the projected allocation in the national office for staff to just deal with national board operations? To deal with national board operations.
We do not have that budgeted.
Is there a plan to provide the national board with a staff person?
If the national board funds that position, certainly.
No, that's not my one question.
You mean a full-time person or as part of somebody's job?
It's part of somebody's specific job to deal with national, like these meetings that don't get place, like communications, like anything that has to take place with the board. We need staff because we need to be able to accommodate, the board needs to be accommodated.
Right now, Joyce, myself, Robert, Wes, and Dan, we all share that position.
I didn't ask you that question. My question is, okay, from what I'm synthesizing from your answer, there is no specific staff that is designated to accommodate board activities.
That is correct.
There is no projected budgetary allocations of a staff person to deal with board activities.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Some questions.
Are there other?
Yes.
Carol was next, then Marion, then Ray.
Hey, what about me?
I didn't see your hand up. So it's Carol, Marion, Ray, George.
Thank you.
Carol?
Briefly, Marion, you had asked...
I'd like to take about 15 minutes. Go on, Carol.
You had asked for my reasoning for not approving a deficit spending budget. I would be perhaps more flexible about it, or at least open to persuasion about it, if we didn't have $1.5 million in unpaid outstanding obligations from prior years.
Okay.
I think we're really walking on pretty dangerous turf here, and I think we need to balance our budget this year.
I agree. That has some logic to it. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, Marion was next.
If we had any reserves, also, I mean, we have no reserves. I could see passing a negative budget if we could draw on our reserves to cover us to invest in something that would pay off later. but we have drained all of our reserves. There's nothing left.
Listen, there was some discussion, I didn't get all of it, as to where in this budget our projected payout over time is previous debt. Where is that in the budget? Is that in the national office?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat your question, please?
You know, we have, last I heard, we were about $1.4, $1.5 million still in the hole from previous decisions that other people made. And I said, where in this budget would you find our projected payout?
It is not in the budget, and as a matter of fact, I would have to do, I've done a 3-month cash flow analysis, but if you look on page 2, it's there in the cash flow, and that's one of the things that we need to talk about. How do we plan to pay off for this debt?
Well, it seems to me now, I don't know how we do budgets in that Pacifica, but anywhere else I've seen budgets, you do include the debt retirement in your budget.
We have no money to include that.
Well, but that's not good budgeting, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you know you got to pay something.
Right.
And you know you're going, you know, if you don't have it somewhere in this budget, you end up in the hole somewhere, and by default, Carol, we're going to have deficit spending. And I don't like that.
Right.
We ought to put in this budget for 2003.
And it goes back to what Carol just said.
No, wait
a
second.
If I could just talk to you about that a minute.
Right.
As I understand it, the budget is on what expenses are incurred this year.
No.
And well, I mean, as are intended to be incurred this year, and the debt are expenses that were incurred in prior years. So if I understand the way we account for it, which may not be the best way to do it, but if we look at the page 2 of the consolidated budget under the cash flows, we do see that we have to retire the debt $1.38 million this year. And that takes our cash flow into more negativity, and I don't really understand why the bottom line is different.
What happened is that it's not a budgetary issue anymore, it's a cash flow. What happens is that based on our operating budget, if we had a positive bottom line, say, of $2 million, then we could say that that $2 million surplus that we're going to recognize for this year, $1.5 million will pay off that debt. And that's a very good question, because right now, without the central services, if you look at all the expenses, which they are very realistic, we are a negative 2.6. So if you look at a negative 2.6, which means that we're going to have all these expenses and we're probably going to have a higher accounts payable because we have no money. So you take that 2.6 and then you add that 1.5. That means we're going to have a $4 million shortfall.
Well, on the other hand, as I said,
I'll
give you an example. I know that in terms of most governments I know, you borrow, say, $300 million for capital expenses, roads, streets, and schools. But you include in your budget for 2003 the repayment of that loan. It goes either way. Either you incurred expenses that you didn't have the money to pay for, or you borrowed money. Same thing. It's a debt retirement. So I would like to ask the board
I would like to
go on record as put that in the budget.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves scrambling.
Right.
Somebody's going to threaten to take us to court. So you come to a settlement, and we don't have any projected income to cover that. Then we're going to have to take money from here to put over there, and then staff going to be worried about that. So I think we ought to go on record, Leslie, and group, as saying that ought to be part of our projected budgeting.
It is in the budget. It's a part of your budget. If you look at the budget, the second page,
where?
Mr. Barry, it's a part of your cash flow. And that's why for the past year and a half since I've been doing the cash flow.
I don't like that.
Since I've been doing the budget, I've included that part of the cash flow.
I don't like that.
I
don't like that.
I understand what you're saying, how for accounting purposes,
it's
separated out
and policy
on the paper.
Purposes,
but I agree with what Marion is saying here. I would prefer to see a picture, as honest a picture as we can, in one budget, in one form, of what we think our payments are going to be. We think we're going to have these kind of salary payments. Obviously, it may change during the year. Somebody might quit, and we may not fulfill, you know, might not fill that position, or we may need to add a new position. Rent might go, well, rent should be stabilized. But, you know, budgets change during the course of the year. But we want to lay out what we believe our expenses are going to be,
yeah.
Right? One of the expenses we know is some commitments that we've already made to pay, you know, we've settled on some of these debts, and we have a payment schedule. I think it would help us grasp the reality of what we're faced with financially if it's on the same piece of paper what we actually have to pay, what those projected payments are. Because otherwise, I understand the logic of how you've done it, but it's hard for us, and I think for people generally, to get a full picture of what the financial obligations are that we're committing to in this next year or have already committed to, okay. If it's not in the budget.
Just let me let everyone understand this. It's a difference between an operating budget and a cash budget. I can do a cash flow projection budget,
okay.
But let's not get it confused with an operating budget. And I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay. That's fine, just as long as it's
right.
All as clear as it can be so we can make the best decision. Okay, we had Ray and George next. Ray and George next.
Ray LaForest, WBA. I see that looking at the page one of the consolidated budget draft, that for administrative expenses, these of KPFA and KPSK are pretty close, and WBI is substantially higher. So I'm assuming this apparently this is due to the rental expenses.
Well, if you look at WBAI, they're in a very unusual situation where their rent for the tower and also the rent that they pay very extremely high. So if you go to page, Ray, if you could go to page all the way back to like three pages down here.
Okay.
WBAI. Go to the W. You can see that WBAI pays tower rent of $219,000 and the studio rent is $218,000. So you have almost about, you know, $440,000 that they have to pay in rent.
Fine. Now, going down to development, the difference is not as big, but it's also, again, $274,000 about for KPFA, $275,000 for KPFK, WBAI falling $38,000. And I was looking at the detailed figures there.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference seems to be in expenses incurred in premiums.
Premiums, exactly. It all depends on how the fund drives are structured. What may be good for one station may not be good for the other station. While KPFA may do something, you know, that's probably going to be, you know, not as costly as WBAI. So we have to really analyze what the premiums that they do when they're in the process of their fund drives.
So those are more questions for the station managers maybe. Now, there's one item here that I've seen for WBAI called the postage subscription, which is not, does it appear in KPFA's, for example?
Okay, well, why don't we take a look at
KPFA's?
Why don't we go to the front page, and that should be the first KPFA, that should be the first budget after the consolidated budget.
And then what within that are we looking at?
Printing subscription.
Hey, what's the code number?
Code
Ray? Number? 6732.
Okay, it's the same thing. Postage renewal, which is costing KPFA's projection $26,000.
Yeah.
You know, we have talked about this idea, and I think right now, probably when the new controller comes aboard, this is something the new controller can look at. Just try to get one vendor for the entire network, and we probably can see some reduction of costs there. I cannot take on this project because I just have too much to do. But if I were to hire the new controller, one of the things that I would ask this person to do is look at all the vendors that the station across the network use and see if we can just compile it into one vendor. And since we have five stations, our cost may be reduced because that's going to be a cost-effective project for, you know, the new controller. I think we will see some reduction in cost there for the entire Pacifica network.
Okay, George.
Leslie, I haven't finished.
You what?
I have one other question.
Okay, let's get George.
Okay.
Okay, George.
Continue on that same line. You know, I'm looking at I know this is a bad word in this nonprofit, but in terms of income, or pardon me, deficit, no, surplus or deficit relative to total income. And I see that our dear friends at KPFA are doing extremely well at 6.03%. The worst is BAI at 1.22%. Oh, I beg your pardon, is PFW at 0.00695%.
What I think George did, you did some of your own calculations.
That's right.
He's on the first page,
that's right.
Consolidated budget, about halfway down, says operating surplus or deficit.
That's right. What I did
so
is
he's comparing the, explain how you figured out.
I divided the surplus by the total income. And the lowest one is for W, and that's 0.00695, less than 1%. Whereas KPFA is 6.034%, KPFK is 3.43%, T is 1.43%, and BAI is 1.22%. Now, this is a question more and a statement more for those managers. I know every station is different. I know that, you know, our goal is not to be as profitable as we can.
Some of them pay rent, some of them
but
don't.
There's something wrong here, y'all. I mean, that we need to look at this more carefully, and these managers need to get their acts in gear. That New York is doing so poorly, and Washington is doing so poorly. Their expenses are out of control.
Well, again, there are regional differences. Rent in New York,
she just said that, yeah,
is just different,
yeah,
than in other places.
Right.
Not
New
that it's cheap in some of these other cities, but you know, there are some. What you're saying, I think, is right, that within each station, we need to look more thoroughly at what the expenses are, where things could be cut or trimmed or, you know, handled differently. But we also, it's not going to be even around the system. That's just the reality.
But for Washington to make almost a hundredth of what? Is it a hundredth or a tenth?
Okay.
A lot less than Berkeley. Not quite right there.
Point of information, man.
Yeah.
Leslie. Wouldn't it be advisable if he were to ask these questions of the GMs tomorrow? And perhaps they can give him more insight.
Okay.
I think is that tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, tomorrow.
And he can give more insight as to what your concerns are. Because
okay.
I think we all have concerns, but I think
I want these managers to have some answers for us tomorrow.
Yeah, this is Dan Conklin. I just want to say, too, what we have asked the general managers to do is to come in with balanced budgets. We haven't asked them to come in with a surplus. So that's important for the board to understand. The goal for each station is for a balanced budget. And even though the surplus that PFW generates or BAI generates may not appear to be a lot relative to some of the other stations, we haven't asked them to do anything more than balance their budgets.
Okay. I want to try and wrap this section up. Yeah. Marion?
I think in September we had this discussion, and I thought it was a consensus, Dan, that you were going to move. Well, we keep talking about raising more money, and we talked about a national development person, and I got an impression that was a high priority. But listening to Yasmin's discussion, she said you are going to try to get to that by January. And I'm just wondering what happened between September and now.
Dan?
We have been really, really busy. What more can I say?
Well, I appreciate that, Yasmin. But on the other hand, it seems we keep talking about raising more money,
Right.
And no one has that specific task now to do that except discuss it.
Yeah,
we should have had, that would have been a high, I know you got a lot to do, and we appreciate that, and I commend you for that. But that should have been a high priority because it has to do with income.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this big discussion about whether or not the person was going to raise more money than they were paid out, et cetera. And I thought we'd come to a consensus. We needed one, like yesterday.
Yeah, the issue for us has been restaffing the national office in California, and that process is underway. We're going to start interviews in about 10 days, or we're scheduled to start interviews both for a controller and for the national development director. So we're hopeful as soon as possible to get those staffers on board right
away.
What's
our current move date to California?
Excuse me?
What's our current move date?
Well, the schedule is March 1.
March 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, though I should say the national office is going to be freed up as of January 1 in the Bay Area, and we're actually hopeful to have those staffers on board as soon as possible for a successful transition.
Okay. Carol, I'm sorry, Jabari was next, and then Carol. And then I really want to close this up because we still have to decide a few things related to budget issues.
Dan, you just said that you told the stations to come in with balanced budgets. Well, I think there's a problem with that because from a national perspective, you can either try to balance the entities at the local level, or you can balance the foundation at the national level. One of the problems of coming in and saying to the stations you balance your budgets is that it kind of creates a disincentive from really recognizing revenue that exceeds the necessary expenses for the stations. One of the things I think the foundation needs to look at is to really identify what the actual operating expenses of each station is, irrespective of revenue. How much does it cost for a station to operate? Those operational expenses should be satisfied, and they will probably be almost totally satisfied by what the stations generate through their individual fund drives and whatever CPB grants that may be issued. But any revenue exceeding the capacity of the stations to operate belongs to the national because in point of fact, everything belongs to the national because it's the national foundation. And we are looking past our capacity to do things outside the area of local radio broadcasting if we compartmentalize our allocation of resources based solely on the station operational capacities. And this is what I was saying in my report, that we place too great an emphasis on local operations at the exclusion of looking at revenue capacity and expense requirements for anything outside of national local program operation. And this goes into archives. We need to support the archives in different ways that they may not be able to sustain themselves. We may need to support, like this past year, we did a national campaign to get KPFK's signal back up because that supports the total national, fulfillment, operational fulfillment. So I'm really, I don't think it's a good idea to tell the stations to balance their budget. I think the stations should create an honest and accurate cost analysis. They should project what their revenue capacity will be to satisfy their accurate expense projections. And anything out of that, anything that surpluses that, is free for use within other areas that it can be allocated toward. But my second, okay, that's my statement. Second question, it's become obvious to me that there needs to be a different approach to how we structurally deal with finances from the view of staff. The way we have it now, the controller is a day-to-day operational person. She deals with actually going there on a day-to-day basis and reconciling this and making sure payroll gets done and da-da-da. But we don't have a person who does financial analysis, okay? And that is not a controller, or could be a controller if you want to. But the point is, we need some kind of position that does analysis of trends, who can identify problems, and other areas of resource development and cost containment that looks at what you were talking about on a national perspective, because the control of the way you are operating, you're so close to the day-to-day operations, you don't have no time to stand back and look at stuff like, well, how can we consolidate our vendor activities by identifying what common, how can we consolidate our UPS or FedEx or kind of stuff like that. These are the kind of things that I'm trying to bring out as part of what the next board and this board really needs to do from a structural level that really will help us deal with our financial structure in a better way, but it will translate into staff, into structure. And in fact, we have talked to discuss about having the controller, instead of reporting to the ED, the controller reports to the board like the ED now reports to the board. So you have accountability from the controller going straight to the board versus the controller reporting to the ED and not being able to say things that maybe that person needs to say and translate directly to the board. So that's another area of structural consideration that the board really should assess.
Jabari, I think that's a great idea. I think it will be wonderful to have what you call a financial reporting person. But let's be real. Given our financial situation in national office, we just simply cannot afford that person. If we probably can have that person on a volunteer basis, yes, that will be wonderful. But first, that person has to understand the requirements and all the specifics of compiling the Pacifica Foundation financial statements.
Well, I'm just saying, that's not your decision. I'm saying for the board. We spent $40,000 on budgets that on bylaws meetings that weren't budgeted. That's a good salary right there. You could probably get somebody on halftime for part-time for half of that. And see, this is what I'm trying to get across. You don't just make decisions based on your immediate capacity to pay for them. You got to think at some level long-term, because if you never think what is the best way to operate, you'll never start to plan to potentially and eventually operate in the best manner. We can't continue to be driven by crisis financial management.
Okay, folks,
Ditto.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. It's 16 minutes to one. We're going to take one question. We're going to make a decision about deficit budget or not. We're going to talk about the time frame.
Leslie, I don't know if that's necessary. I get the impression, I was sort of asking the question, but I get the impression that most of us are satisfied.
I know,
with
I just want to go, I just want
oh, okay.
to put it on record.
All right.
I think it'll take a half a second, but I want to put it on record. And there's one other issue left over from the September meeting. We were given a draft of a foundation policies and procedures manual when it comes to financial issues. We're obviously not going to talk about it today, but we do need to talk about the process around it. Ray.
Yeah, Dan, yesterday I raised the question of budget for the coordinators, for the outreach coordinators. I understand that only two of the stations out of five have budget set aside for that. Do you see any role for the national office to help implement this process, or do you see it solely as a local decision?
I think in terms of financial budgeting issues, it's a local matter. But obviously in terms of a policy issue, from what I'm hearing from the board last night and today, I know many people feel that this is absolutely critical as the network moves into the reorganization of its governance and the elections that are coming up at each of the local stations, that some significant or some resources at a local level are put into organizing both the elections process, but more generally, outreach issues that the local stations and the network faces overall.
I'm sorry, just a footnote to that. The board did express its concern about this at the June meeting. It reaffirmed it at the September meeting. This is not the first time that we're doing this, and I'm saying this as much to the national office as to the station managers, right, that this was made clear at the June meeting that we encourage, urge, wanted, wish, whatever language we use, that in the development of the budgets, that outreach and training both be, you know, looked at extremely seriously as a priority. So it's not like a new issue here. George, did you have something? Oh, good.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
I did have something, and I agree with Jabari that we can't plan by the seat of our pants. And you're absolutely right. And looking at Pacifica history, the board, before approving a budget in September, got a really fleshed-out draft in June. And that's what we have to aim for next year. We need a fully fleshed-out draft in June, where all these questions are being raised, talked about, going back and forth between the board and the station managers and all, so that we actually can approve a budget in September. Knowing, of course, this year it wasn't possible for all myriads of reasons, but next year we really need to do it.
Leslie?
Okay, can we move on?
One final point.
Yeah.
I agree with Zabari. That person doing the analysis would probably end up saving the foundation enough money to more than likely compensate what you pay here.
Right.
So I think we ought to direct the staff to put that position in there so we'll be able to do analysis and trends and where you can cut costs. And what happens, it seems to me, when you're day-to-day, you got the answer is overwhelmed by what she's doing now, doesn't have an opportunity to do the analysis that I think would be necessary to give us some good insight to what's going on. So I think that'll be one of the decisions we want to make today is to ask the staff. We had this conference call to put that in the budget.
We're also going to get from Yasmin a breakdown of the national staff positions, and I assume a little something to just explain what the job is. So maybe it's okay. All right. What I want to do is just make clear that we have agreement, so we're on the record about the question of seeking to adopt a balanced budget. Right, can we have a motion to that effect?
I move that the board not adopt an unbalanced budget. That's what we have before us. So I can say I don't.
Well, Carol, no, it's two issues. Let me suggest that if you put it in the affirmative,
all right, I'd like to see a balanced
today,
budget.
But also deals with the next budget we're going to get.
The motion is then that the board requests the national staff to present us with a balanced budget within 3 weeks.
But
can
let's
you do it?
Leave the time off for a second. Okay.
No, I don't really.
No, we need to talk about it.
That's why I said it with a question mark at the end of my sentence.
Okay. Is 3 weeks realistic?
Let me see. Maybe I should talk to Dan. Do you want the audit? Do you want the reconciliation? Do you want the budget?
We need the budget.
I'm in the process. Ross is coming in between the 17th through the 20th. I need to get the audit ready.
So what is
what's realistic?
Realistic is going to be probably next year until I'm finished with this FY2.
Can we say
audit.
January 15th? Next year is 3 weeks.
January the 15th?
Right. So what?
Okay, January the 15th.
Is that realistic?
Yes, the 15th is realistic.
Okay. Motion that the board, the national staff, present the board with a balanced budget by January 15th for our review and hopefully approval.
But question.
So moved.
Question.
That was a motion.
That was
a motion. Second.
And I heard second.
Marion.
Okay.
Marion.
Second from Marion. Yeah. George. Question.
Or discussion.
Yes.
Is for them to come up with a balanced budget. I mean, they're going to plug in some increased revenues, or they're going to. They're going to cut some expenses.
That's right.
Right.
Yes, or both.
Or both. And, I mean, George, it's going to be a dictate to the stations. Again, you're going to increase revenue by XY percent, and you're going to cut expenses by ABC percent.
Well, we're going to leave that to their creative mind.
So where I'm going with this is, it seems more of a question for Dan than it is for Yasmin, because these are decisions he has to make as the executive director. Whereas, I mean, this is not really Yasmin's role.
Yeah, that schedule sounds good. We should be able to do that by January. Get you something by January 15th.
I want all of y'all to understand that. But
let me just say these people. Right. The other piece of this, though, I want to reiterate, is at the staff level. Right. When we say the balanced budget, it's the whole package of budgets And I believe some work needs to be done, or maybe some work needs to be done on each station also. I mean, certainly on the outreach question alone. I mean, again, I haven't had a chance, I think most of us haven't had a chance to do a thorough look through of the each station's budget. So we're asking the station staff to kick that into high gear so that on January 14th, Yasmin isn't dealt with the problem of putting it all together in a consolidated budget to deliver on the 15th, right? It's got to be a system-wide, a network-wide pull here. You know, everyone's got to be pulling on this to make this happen, okay?
But the stations did give us a balanced budget.
I know, but still, if there are any refinements that need to be made in the station budgets, now's the time to do it. That's all I'm saying. Okay, can we call it, Buzz? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Did I count right? And all opposed, 10. And all opposed and abstaining, 1. Okay. The other question I just want to raise here is that in the September packets, I don't know if any of you brought it with you. In the September packets, we were given by the national office a document that says Pacifica Foundation Policies and Procedures Manual. And this particularly has to do with financial issues, revenue and receiving, disbursements, accounts payable, payroll, et cetera, et cetera. The idea being that we should give you feedback. What I'm wondering is, because obviously we're not, probably most people didn't even bring it with them this meeting. What I'm wondering is if you could give us a time frame by which you would like to get feedback, and also do you want feedback sent directly to the national office, or should it be funneled through the finance committee so you get one document with feedback as opposed to, you know, a dozen people calling in, I don't like that line, and
the finance committee.
Okay. So we need to refer this process of reviewing the policies and procedures around financial matters to the finance committee. Okay, is that all right with everybody? No objection, then it's okay. Okay, before we break, we're going to break for lunch. As Joyce is in the room, we need to know, Joyce, we need to know what the lunch plans are. But before we do that, I just want to take this opportunity to introduce Don Rojas, who joined us today. Don, maybe you could just stand. Don, okay. You all know who he is.
Don Rojas, the general manager of WBAI in New York.
To lunch, so people can talk to him and meet him and say hi and stuff. The other thing is that we have had a very serious request from our webmaster. I wish somebody would come up a new word for that job, but the guy who does our web work, Pete Krakus, if the board members, actually, could you get Marion and Dick, if we could just stay here for 1 second while we break for lunch, so he can get a picture of us to put on the website, okay? he would like to do that. Now, what are the lunch plans? Joyce, what are the lunch plans? What's the plan for lunch?
Huh? In here?
Yeah.
Stations, we will stay right here because we'll bring you highlights of last night's board meeting as well as a tribute to the late Philip Berrigan coming up, produced by Pacifica's Peace Watch, coming up in just a couple minutes.
Okay, there's lunch coming. It's sandwiches and light stuff for like 65 people. I don't know how many people are in the room. I haven't counted. That means if anybody wants to go out and get your own lunch, that's great. Joyce, what's the charge on the lunch?
You are listening to WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFA in KPFB, Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. We'll be broadcasting to the conclusion of today's meeting and then also tomorrow morning, beginning at 9 a.m. East Coast time, 6 a.m. West Coast time. So we do want to ask you to stick with us if you can, as they now adjourn for lunch until 1:45 East Coast time. And we will be right here. I'm Jim Bennett, the interim general manager of KPFA, and I'll momentarily be joined by Verna Avery Brown. she came to me a little while ago and said that Peace Watch has put together something in tribute to the late Philip Berrigan, who passed away, I believe, last evening. And a very sad day, a very important figure in the history of this country. And we'll have this from Verna in just a moment, as well as some highlights from last night's Pacifica board meeting. And we welcome you, Verna. If I can get you this pair of headphones over there. Yeah, go ahead. You can put that on. And
It's really...
You can do it. You can do it.
I can do it. I can get these headphones on. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
There we are. Okay. So, Jim, did you talk to the audience about what I'm about to present?
I did indeed, but maybe you could give them a little background. I told them that you came to me earlier today and said that Peace Watch and you have a tribute to the late Philip Berrigan.
Yes,
and it is very sad to hear of his passing, and I expect that people will be hearing a lot about his legacy on Pacifica in days and weeks and months to come, and years, too.
You're absolutely right, Jim. In fact, we've already begun doing some programming.
Right.
I know that Democracy Now! Actually had a segment on Phil Berrigan earlier this week. So his death really, to those who knew him well, comes as no surprise. So the Peace Watch producers have been working on a segment to properly honor his life and his legacy for some time now. Peace Watch producer Scott Gurian, along with Laurel Padgett Seekins, are close friends of the family, and they had a very unique access to Mr. Berrigan, and so they put together this piece. And just by way of introduction, let me just go ahead and introduce the piece here. Surrounded by his family and community, renowned peace activist Philip Berrigan passed away from cancer Friday evening at his home in Baltimore, Maryland. He was 79. Philip Berrigan and his brother Dan, both Catholic priests, gained national prominence for opposing the Vietnam War by burning draft files with homemade napalm. Rooted in his faith, Philip's commitment to resisting U.S. militarism continued. With the support of his community, he was arrested over 100 times and spent 11 years of his life behind bars for nonviolent civil resistance. Pacifica's Peace Watch producer Laurel Padgett Seekins brings us this reflection on his life.
I was commissioned as an infantry officer in France in 1944.
Unfortunately, it looks like we won't be able to present that, Verna, but we'll be playing that, I believe, on Peace Watch on Monday.
Yes, indeed. Apparently, we had some sort of technical difficulties here, but, well, that just gives our listeners a reason, an additional reason to tune in to Peace Watch on Monday. Peace Watch is aired in the Washington, D.C. area from 6 to 7 p.m. in the evening. And those listening around the network, check your local listings for Peace Watch. Thank you very much. It's a fine piece. It's actually, much of it is produced in Phil Berrigan's own voice. As I said earlier, we also have a lot of archival tape included in this segment as well. But Laurel Padgett Seekins, who is the producer, and Scott Gurian, had a unique access to him, and it's a fine piece, and we do hope the listeners will tune in for that on Monday.
Well, thanks very much, and as I said before, we will indeed be bringing you in the months and years to come to a continual acknowledgement of his legacy, and the legacy of Pacifica is to have voices like his on the air, and so that will continue to be one of our goals as we continue our work together. So thanks very much, Verna, and we'll look forward to hearing that piece on Monday.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. As we continue during this lunch break here at the Pacifica National Board meeting, I'll again tell you of the location. We are at the All Souls Unitarian Church, which is located at 1600 Harvard Street Northwest. The church is in the Adams Morgan section of Washington, D.C., at the intersection of 16th Street and Columbia Road.